The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to February's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. We've left the magnet far behind now. We had our little January edition there. We're now back and it's poker night at the Heat and Hops.
Shuffle up and deal.
Around the table we've got the great and good of the world of non-league football. We've got...
He nearly said non-football. Non-football. The great one of non... Know nothing about football. That's a fair point well made, but in fairness...
You got the right people for that.
Yes. You host it so well.
Thank you.
It's like a Northern... Division 1 rugby league podcast, this.
Around the table we've got the great and good of non-league football.
Warrington Wizards, aren't they right? Oh, Cyril's coming to Vancouver. Cyril's coming to Vancouver, can you believe it? We're going to Vancouver. Vancouver. Because they're playing in our division. No one understands it. What's going on? Vancouver. My missus has got a Vancouver. She's never used it. She uses it. What's her name? Instead,
Swampy, I've got to tell thee, it's Toronto. It's Toronto that they're playing in. It's not Vancouver.
I know that, but my
it's Toronto.
Missus has got a Vancouver in Gordon, but no plug.
Wow. Yeah,
Andrew Simpson from the Manchester Guardians here.
Hello.
Ian Burke is here from BBC Radio Manchester.
Hiya, Ben, you're right.
We've got Swampy here from FCUM Radio.
Good evening, Benjamin.
Mr. Non-League himself, Roy Sully's here.
Yeah, good evening.
And James Hayes is here as well. Hello, James.
How are you doing?
I tried to give you a title there, but it just fell through, didn't it? So, I was going to start this by saying, when are we going to crown Blyth as champions? But then Spennymoor popped up. And it's all. Have the wheels come off? Have the wheels come off?
No.
Okay. Moving along.
Wait.
Before we get to discussing Blyth's chances,
before
Berkey's rant, let's hear about all the results from Tuesday and Saturday in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division.
Thanks, Ben. And Blyth Spartans have opened up a 13-point gap up at the top of the NPL Premier Division over the last couple of games or so. Starting on Saturday, Blyth Spartans beat Corby Town by 4-2. However, midweek, Spennymoor Town beat Blyth Spartans in the local derby there by 2-1, seeing Spennymoor Town head up the league table to fourth position, 57 points now, tied with loads of other teams. Nantwich Town have moved into second position on 61 points. That follows a emphatic 4-1 win at home to Warrington Town on Tuesday and a 2-1 away win at Hensford Town on Saturday. Stourbridge joined Nantwich Town on 61 points in third position on goals scored. Stourbridge on Saturday had a proper six-pointer against Whitby Town away from home and won by 3-1. And then on Monday evening, they hosted Stafford Rangers and beat them by 2-0. So a very good weekend there for Gary Hackett's side. Buxton are in fifth position but didn't play over the last week or so because of games being postponed. Matlock Town, they're in sixth position on the same number of points as their Peak District rivals. But it's not been a good week for them, drawing 2-2 with Michelover Sports on Saturday and losing midweek 1-0 away at Frickley Athletic. Grantham are in 7th position, 1 point behind Buxton, Matlock and Spennymoor. Grantham, though, could only manage a point at the weekend, drawing 2-2 with Workington. Rushall Olympic, they're in 10th following a 1-1 draw against Ashton United on Saturday. And down towards the bottom end of the table, Skelmersdale United got a much-needed win against Workington, beating them 1-0 away from home. A cracking result, that, for the team currently bottom of the table. And that concludes the scores from Saturday, Monday and Tuesday in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. Back over to you, Ben.
So there you go, that's all the results from the past few days or so. So, Berkey, you were rudely interrupted there. You were about to start a rant about Blyth Spartans' chances of finishing second this season. What are your views?
Ben, I can't even believe that we're talking about Blyth not winning a title because they lost a poxy game against Spennymoor. Come on, Spennymoor, they're a very, very good team and they're going to make the playoffs.
It was.
Not the great team.
Yeah, but poxy game.
It was a poxy game. He'd won 11 on the spin or something before that. Even if Nantwich, who had a team in second place, win the game in hand, Blyth is still 10 points clear. From that, we've got 12 games left to go. And you'd expect the team who have lost 6 games all season to lose 4 games in 12. come off it. It's not going to happen. They're going to canter over the line. Spennymoor are arguably the second best. All right, they're going to be in the top five. One of the best teams in the division. Mm. Look down at the list. Yeah. Who are they playing this month? They've got Sutton Coldfield. They've got Frickley. They've got Skemp. All right, those 2-1 last night, but I'm sure we'll come to that later. But they've got teams they can beat, and they should beat at a canter as well. Buxton and Nantwich come up later in the month. And you can practically crown them champions when they play Nantwich later in the month, if they beat them.
Well, in all fairness, and I'll try and bring a modicum of sensibility to this. Let Roy talk.
Okay. I was just going to say, Roy, was it Halifax who won the league this early? Last time we had a runaway winner like this. But anyway, back to you, Roy, anyway. I was only joking, by the way, and Berkey went for it, but there is no chance of anyone catching Blythe now.
No,
what's left?
Like I said, I think we were talking about it last month, and I just basically said I can't see anybody touching Blythe Spartans, and the 10-point gap, which Berkey regularly talks about, I think could well be feasible. You know, they're in there. They've got some good fixtures coming up. You know, like Berkey said, and they could have it won reasonably early.
And that's good, because we've had this dilemma here on this show for ages. When do we stop talking about Blythe? I mean,
on the show last month. It was about 40 minutes talking about Blythe. They've won the league. Move on.
Are we allowed to say that it's a great thing they're finally going to get promoted?
I think you're 100% right and fair. And I think as football supporters of other football clubs, they're the one club that we all... Ben, stop like orchestrating me to say the new thing I say every single month. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is, Blythe Spartans play great football.
Yes.
And everyone wants them to do well, not because of the name, it's the football that they've played. And they've missed out on a few years. And that's why, and there's nothing better than a team deserving it on the quality of football they play and the consistency of qualityness.
And they've got quite a good kit.
They've proven that
you can win the title in style, which is kind of the dream, really, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah.
And a good chippy on the, corner.
Yeah.
Don't forget the chippy on the corner.
And the barbers.
You could go back to say that Blythe, at last, after 100 games of decent football over the seasons, they've hopefully deservedly got, you know, their just desserts, because they have entertained everybody.
Now, let's talk about the interesting thing then, right? What are we saying here? From second down to 13th?
No. Yeah? 12th.
No.
All dropping points whenever they feel like
chaos.
It.
You're playing for fifth place. The top four sorted. Blythe going to win it, and then the next three are going to be Nantwich, Spennymoor, and Stourbridge in whatever order. What?
James, go.
I've actually spent some time researching it, believe it or not, and I've over the next 6 week weekend midweek fixtures, the top 13. I'm going to drag Ashton into this as well. 18 of the fixtures are against each other. You can't rule out Nantwich, Selby, and Spennymoor potentially dropping points, because
of course they're going
at this
to
moment in time. Yeah, but this moment in time though, everyone's doing it at the same time, but it's against the teams around them. Not
they'll drop fewer points than the other teams. I think people are playing for fifth place, and
I don't think they are.
I do want Matlock to do it, because I want Marcus Dinanga to get promoted. 8 goals in the last 10 games for him. I mean, no point in me saying he's on fire, because he's been on fire all season, hasn't he? But Nantwich, you know, they've been great, haven't they? They've come through essentially mid-table. They had all them games.
The problem I've got with that idea that Spennymoor and Nantwich are nailed on is the fact that, and Stourbridge, is the fact that they're on decent runs of form at the moment. Yeah. Decent-ish. Stourbridge have the fifth best record of the last 10 games.
That's my point.
This team's a bit lower down, who were on really bad runs of form at the moment, and that I don't think that's going to last forever.
I think going to revert to the mean.
Yes.
I
and that goes to Spennymoor as well. And Stourbridge, they will drop points before the end of the season.
I personally believe what Berkey said there.
Something not quite right here.
I actually honestly believe that the second, third, and fourth spot are secured, and it's the fifth spot they're playing for. Everybody else, I really do, and all the way down to working to. Me and Roy just been talking off air here about, you know, even though there's they play 35 and Matt will play the 33 and Bucks will play 33, I still fancy Workington only because of their pedigree, and they know in a certain respect that Buxton. I mean, you know, I don't want to be sort of like Northwest Century. So in that respect, I mean, we've been to Buxton many times, and they deserve to be where they are. I mean, the team that has probably suffered most than anybody else have done a great season at Whitby now. They've been all the way up there, and they've
gone
down.
We've kind of expected this, haven't we?
But they've only gone down because of, I mean, they're on the similar points, but I think Workington, for me, are the team that maybe that, but I do believe what Berkey says, there's a fifth spot, they're all playing for fifth spot now. The other teams, for me,
can I throw a team out there?
In my opinion.
Can I throw a team out there to you, Simon?
You can throw a team out there.
And it's someone who, they're on your patch in a way, you cover them.
You're going to say Wazza, aren't you?
I am going to say Warrington. And the reason being, Wazza. The reason being, if you look at the teams they've beaten recently, they've beaten Stourbridge. They have, admittedly, they've been beat in a bad way by Nantwich recently.
I know, but apparently that was the wind. They blamed the wind.
The wind. And they've lost to Workington and Blyth.
Yeah.
But
Eleanor blamed.
What's your view, firstly, on Warrington's chances?
They quietly fancy their chances, which I'm quite surprised about, because I don't share that optimism. I know they're only 4 points off fifth place, but they have played more games than most of the teams above them. They've lost 14 games. I mean, I'm not sure what that'd say about the league if someone who's lost that many games makes the playoffs. They're going to lose more.
Hadn't they lost 14 games by October or something?
No,
it was double figures by Christmas, wasn't it?
It's kind of been quite painstaking, Paul Carden, because there's been a huge turnover of players at Warrington, partly because lads who were loyal to the former manager didn't want to play for many more, partly because he wanted to bring the people he wanted to bring in. He's kind of then toyed with a few people on loan from Tranmere and they've gone back. So he's still very much kind of shaping the team. And I think, you're right, the little run they've been on has kind of reignited the faint hopes that they did have of getting in. I mean, 4 points is nothing with the amount of games they've got left. I just think, kind of coming back to what you were saying, that there's so much churn with the results that ultimately will cost them. But I think...
Will Warrington, though, their churning manager this season, or their manager this season, be their downfall? Because...
I don't know, because I mean, Toby tends to get it right, don't he? Toby McCormack, the chairman there. I mean, he sacked Sean Reid when he was in his pomp. They still got promoted. Go back a few years.
Sacking Joey Dunn.
You know, it worked out.
Now, just to go a bit lower than Warrington, the real outside bets, Barwell, because they've only played 36 games. I'm not having a go at Barwell, Jimmy Ginelli. Do not get in touch complaining. But they played 36 games. Hensford, Rushall.
No, Alex Reid.
Still though, I'm going to say, between them, the four we're talking here, Rushall, Warrington, Barwell and Hensford, with the three games they've got in the next 3-4 weeks, two of them will drop out because of who they've got to play. But it depends if they can make the rest of it at the same time. I wouldn't go against Barwell and Hensford having a late run, especially the fact that they've both got to play teams down the bottom end of the table.
I think
just a quick mention then for Workington.
Yeah.
Coming to you here for this one. Workington have been the most bizarrest team this season because they're a first class yo-yo.
Yeah, just
the proper yo-yo.
So inconsistent.
They are, and that's what will prevent them from going up, in my opinion. I think the line has to be drawn, me, for the eighth position team, which is Whitby. And to be honest, I've got an affection for Workington in the way they played, the way they've applied themselves over the last, not only this season, but over the last three seasons. I think they've been quite entertaining. But I just feel that it's all above them, and they include Rushall. You know, you can take what you want. The places are going to be played out. Down to Whitby Town, and I think you need to look at, really, to be honest, the amount of games that some of the teams have played.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to mess it up. They're just going to run out of games.
Certainly, aren't Whitby going backwards though, so you can strike them out of it and then go Grantham upwards?
Well, you could do, but I just look at the figure I'm looking at is 35 games played. If you play 35 games, you're going to have to win every single game to the end of the season to sling yourself into the equation.
Is that true this season, though? Because
yeah,
this
I still
season,
feel it is, yeah.
I mean, even Whitby. Whitby
no,
was... Where were they,
that.
Third? They were second, weren't they, a couple of weeks ago?
But the reason why I feel that is that you've got form teams coming in to the equation. The new form teams, I mean, definitely Nantwich, Stourbridge and Spennymoor. You've got to beat these teams, and they've come into form at the right time.
The downside is for Workington is that they've scored.
Haven't they got to rely on a lot of teams to drop the
also,
ball in a way?
Maybe, yeah, but at the same time, for me, there's an opportunity for them.
And they've still got Calum.
You can't be serious and losing at home to Skem. That is a horrendous, horrendous result on Tuesday. I know one-off things can happen, but...
Skem have to beat someone.
Wow. I mean, they are bad.
They do. We got
they
beat by...
Durham we got beat
by. Pitch where,
yes.
Basically, at half-time, we snowballed the man on a tractor. And they still beat us on a plastic pitch, so you know what?
What happens here at the end of the season, I think we're guaranteed an absolutely belting set of playoffs.
Yes,
absolutely.
Really deep.
I thought he was...
Grantham.
Great season. Just going to miss out, unfortunately. But had a tremendous season. And
how can you say that the likes of Nantwich and Stourbridge and Spennymoor are coming into form at the right time when all we're talking about Grantham is...
Too many games, Ben. That's what Grantham, tremendous. Are up there for merit. I mean, next season, if you go... I mean, and let's look at something as simple as this.
Don't start going to next season yet. He did that last week. I was like, can we get the main course out of the way first?
I'm looking forward to this one.
Go on.
No, leave it.
All right, well, I'm coming.
I'm going to leave it to next season.
I'll come in because Grantham, they've had such an... It's been a phenomenal run for them. The problem is they've just started to have that little wobble. They've not won in the last three. And you might go, all right, they've not won in the last three. Stourbridge lost three on the spin and they picked up more points. And is this where Grantham start to revert to the mean? And I suspect it might just be it's started to catch up with them a little bit now.
Do you not think some of them have talked themselves out of it?
I
think, you know, we've when Whitby were leading, Rushall were leading, and listening to people talking this season, I think it's how you look at it. They've overachieved, so in a way, you know, it doesn't really matter because they've had a great season, full stop. But how many managers have you had on when you've kind of tried to get them to go, yeah, we're serious about challenging the playoffs, and they've tried to play it down and go, oh well, you know. And I think there's an element. How many of these teams have really believed that they're going to do it? And look, it's kind of the usual suspects.
Can I give you a little bit of, what's the word, based on just talking to people about them actually committing? Because you're right. Every time I interview somebody and say, are you up for it this year? They always go yes, but one game at a time and all that palaver. Based on tone, I would suggest Matt Lockdown's management duo have something in the back of their mind.
Yeah. Well, they still feel...
No, they don't feel... They don't say anything to me. But you could just tell...
Yeah,
you know this, Birky, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You interview someone, you could tell in the from the tone in the voice.
I think the problem you have now, even in this division, is because you've got... You've got owners, you've got directors. And if your managers are going to be bullshit or going to actually sit the neck to the precipice...
Say one thing, though. If you look at the team's investment, and we actually spoke about this, about John at Rushall Olympic last month, where I said, like, you know, if he's lost Reed...
He has brought in a couple of players.
...and to invest, you know. But I also did say that a pat on the back to the chairman at Buxton...
Yeah.
You know, saying, you know, that he did invest for Martin, you know, in players and give it available. And I think that's the right thing to do if you're serious.
Definitely.
If you're not serious, then, you know, there's no problem, you know, but, you know, I've got to say that just hard work alone, it gets you just into the mode, but you need quality.
Just a quick question then.
To get you over the line.
From a management point of view, if you're up there challenging, Do you get what we're talking about here with this idea that the players listen in to these interviews and they might think, oh, we're going to be happy with...
I do, but the players...
But you'd say something different to the press from what you say in the dressing room, wouldn't you?
I have no issue with that.
The players will know the stuff that's put out for the press and the stuff that the managers actually believe. There's two different things.
Isn't it about time, though?
Am I being used, Roy? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
It's a revelation. Crushing blow and a revelation.
Getting back to the player positions as they are now.
Good thinking, Ben.
Right, Spennymoor, Stourbridge, Nantwich.
Yes.
Nantwich and Stourbridge have opened up a 4-point gap, which is quite handy at the moment to Spennymoor.
It is.
Buxton, though. We've not mentioned Buxton yet.
We haven't mentioned Buxton.
Your home destination, by any chance, is it?
Well, because you've not played for 2 weeks.
Yeah. True.
You've not played much, but the games that they have played this month, apart from the Derbyshire Cup or whatever it was, They've not. Remember last month I had a bit of a nibble at them saying they're conceding too many late goals here. And they were. They were conceding. All the goals were coming like 80 plus minutes. They've not conceded in the second half at all in February. And they've. So, I'm sure they've listened to me and tweaked the knobs and all that kind of thing.
Mr. McIntosh.
I know he does listen. I know he listens. But. You know, I've got a lot of time for him, and I'm sure he knows that.
I'm sure we give you an interview at the end of the season.
They're not on my patch, I couldn't care less.
Do you not think having someone like him in charge could tip the balance? He's canny, experienced, prepares his team very, very well. You don't see him coming out talking his team. In fact, I read an interview with him today, and he was saying, the money's there, I need to spend it, I'll spend it.
God, you're well prepared.
But I'm happy with that, with where we are. You know, that's what you want to hear. And I think he's got the tactical edge on some of the other teams as well.
And they've got Liam Hardy back, as we mentioned last month. That's it. It's goals galore. And while he's in the team, you're always going to score. And that's exactly what he's been doing since he's come back.
Said,
to the club. Why Darlow let him go? I do not.
What they've got coming up as well is generally, I don't want to say it's easier because, again, at this moment,
there's no
easy games, but looking at where they are on the table, they're playing more the lower end than what Nantwich and Stalbridge over the next couple of weeks. So that could be the time.
They do have to play Blythe later in the month, but they've got Skem, they've got Frickley, exactly. But then again, they both won last night.
Round the table then. Your four playoff people.
I love the fact that we've talked for nearly an hour and we've talked ourselves into the top five, not changing. Brilliant.
Go on.
I think it will actually. I'm not persuaded by Workington. I think they're far too erratic this year. They lost far too many games at home. I think if anyone is going to break in, and it's for the opposite reasons, Workington, that they've got such a good home record, is maybe Matlock can break into it.
Yeah, but Buxton have got the second best home record.
Yeah, so that makes it tough. I'm going to stick with the top five as it is. It might not be in that order. But I think those will be the four teams in the playoffs.
And do you reckon, I'm just mentioning Nantwich now, do you reckon Nantwich will stay second? And
If they do, it'll be their best ever season.
Because this has been coming for at least 18 months, hasn't it?
And you can only praise the job Phil Parkinson's done. He's built incrementally and he's getting his just rewards. Very good side.
They've kept the goals coming from all over the squad as well.
And wouldn't it be lovely for Johnny Crowther to do the playoff final?
He'd be delighted.
He'd love that, wouldn't he?
And of the 13 games they've got left to go, 8 of them are at home.
Right.
Only 5 away games.
And that's nailed on, isn't it?
It's looking really good for them. They've still got to play Blythe again. But
Blythe might be on the beach by then.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, not the beach up there.
Yeah, no, it's very cold. Very cold. Berkey, your top four, please. Yeah, your second to fifth, please.
I actually do think it's between second and sixth place. I don't think you need to look beyond Matlock, really. So Nantwich, Stourbridge, Bennymoor, plus either Buxton or Matlock.
I can see Stourbridge and Nantwich maybe changing round.
Yeah.
I can see Bennymoor staying up there now. They've got the bit between the teeth. And for me, it's between Buxton, Matlock, and Workington. They're the three teams for me that will be vying for that fifth spot. Buxton, Matlock, and Workington. No disservice to the teams around them. I mean, they've had a great season, but I just think there's a possibility of that's where it'll end up.
I don't think you can pick the next four underneath Blythe. I think it's all going to be muck and nettles. I think they're all going to be slugging away. If I was going to pick anything, I would go down to sixth spot with Matlock and Buxton fighting out, and Spennymoor fighting out those bottom three spots. But I would not in any way be surprised if Grantham or Whitby could do something dependent on their the opponents that they're playing.
The thing is, though, I can still see one of them from Rushall, Warrington, Bow and Hensford having that late run.
I'm going to
say Rushall out of that one, but I wouldn't put it against Hensford just with what the fixtures they've got left and off what they've done this season. I wouldn't put it against Whitby. I think Grantham, yeah, I agree, they play too many games at the moment and need good view snookers now just to get back in there.
Who'll drop out then?
I'm thinking Spennymoor personally.
Ooh. What?
Ooh. Well,
and
well,
I can't decide between Stourbridge and Buxton.
Because of the finances that they've put into it.
So, as you can tell, there's still a long way to go here, but next month it's going to be March's edition of the Evo Stick MPL show, and that is where clarity finally reigns.
Oh, calamity.
We hope.
Clarity.
We hope.
All right.
Yeah, we hope.
Half the teams will be out of the playoff race by this time next month, but I'll guarantee that now, because again, with the games that will be played.
Now, I think what you're looking at now is how it's going to end up. It's just going to be a battle. It's going to be a quarter-final battle between all of them, barring Blyth.
And coming up in a second, we're going to be talking about the relegation picture, which is just as intriguing as the top half at the moment.
I've not done any research on that.
It's fine, don't worry. But before that, it's time to hand up back over to Cockers as we reveal this season's nominees for the MPL Show Player of the Season 2016-17.
The shortlist committee has had its say. Chosen by fans and MPL show regulars, the Evostick MPL show is pleased to announce the nominees for this year's Supporters Player of the Season 2016-17. And the nominees are...
Dale Hobson, Whitby Town.
The Whitby Town midfielder has helped turn the Seasiders' fortunes around at the club this season, going from relegation candidates a year ago to a side competing for promotion this season.
Anthony Melbourne, Kidsgrove Athletic.
Melbourne returns to the final vote for the second year running, after helping keep his side on the heels of a highly competitive playoff race in Division 1 South this season.
Dan Maguire, Blyth Spartans.
Currently one of the league's top goal scorers, the 24-year-old Spartan gets the nod after a string of performances which have helped to give Blyth an impressive lead up at the top of the MPL Premier Division.
Elliot Rocker, Radcliffe Borough.
The young Borough player gets himself on the shortlist after an impressive season for the Bury Bay side. With 18 goals to his name, the versatile forward can play both on the wing as well as an out-and-out striker.
James Walshaw, Farsley Celtic.
After returning to Throstle Nest in the summer, Walshaw is currently the division's top goalscorer and has wasted no time in helping put the Celts firmly in the title race in Division 1 North. And those are this year's nominees. A big thank you to all the supporters for their nominations and a big congratulations to those who have made the final five. You have until 11:59pm on Sunday the 12th of March, so please visit the Evostick League website now to register your vote. But be warned, if you do vote more than once, then all of your votes will not be counted. Good luck, everyone.
Welcome back to the Heating Hops here in South Manchester for February's edition of the Evostick NPL show. Those there were the nominees for this year's NPL show Supporters Player of the Year.
Disgrace, if you ask me.
We wish everyone...
Tyrone Gay.
We wish everyone... Oh, we should say that there are a few players there who didn't make it.
Tyrone Gay
at Ossett Town is one of
Marcus
them.
Marcus Dinanga
at Matlock.
Well,
he won't be looking back, will he? My God.
But we wish the five nominees well, and obviously all the details there for how to vote are on that little jingle.
Once,
let's, from awards to relegation. It's like...
Well, it's like the opposite.
It's like the complete opposite. It's like... You know, before we get to the juicy bit of this relegation steak, let's deal with...
We've got a vegan here. Okay. You can't be talking about steaks.
Now, Skelmersdale United... Now,
great win, but still relegated. Yeah,
they're getting the results, but it's... I agree, there's not... I don't think there's much
They're not
chance.
Getting the results. They've got the result.
No, they're taking...
They've got 4 points in a month. That's relegation.
At the same time of what they have been doing recently, though, it's...
Ilkeston.
They've gone.
They had a good win, though, didn't they?
Against Sutton Coldfield, yeah.
Yeah, but they're gone.
A bit higher up. Sutton Coldfield Town have been left somewhat in a bit limbo all of a sudden with Corby and Frickley doing what they've been doing in recent weeks.
They had a good win on Tuesday, though.
They did.
What a massive wonderful win.
Massive
wonderful.
Win.
Sutton Coldfield, their pitch plays a very, very, very big part. They've won more games at home than they've lost. However, on their travels, they cannot adapt to grass. They've only won one game away from home, and that is why they don't have a chance of staying up, in my humble opinion.
With Frickley doing what they're doing and Corby doing what they're doing, dragging Marine, dragging Coldfield Town in, as long as Sutton Coldfield keep getting that odd occasional win, then
they have a lot to do though.
What's their running need, like? Yeah, you need more than odd occasional wins.
Do you win? Do you win?
Same about Corbett, though, couldn't you?
Because well, I'm getting to Corbett because I predicted this would happen, didn't I? Right, because Corby have played Nantwich and Blythe, and obviously Frickley have been winning. And I said, you watch what happens on the MPL show, I bet they all say, oh, Corby.
I think the situation at this moment in time, I mean, Corby, we discussed it, I think, on the weekly show last week. From where they were to where they are now,
they've done
absolutely tremendously.
So, and you would, and distance.
And you would suggest that the management team have got something right there. And they're working so, so hard to get out of the situation they're in.
Fourth best form in the league.
And as we said last week, it was championship form, wasn't it? Yeah. It was championship form. And they've done tremendously well. The likes of Frickley getting that huge result last night against Matlock. And again, a team that actually...
It's not just that, though. It's like they haven't beaten the last four, Frickley.
Exactly, yeah. And Frickley, and it's going to be hard now. I mean, and you look at Marine. The Marine have made five changes in the last week. You know, Craig Linfield and a few others have gone there. They brought you know what they brought in Marine is a really established goalkeeper, and Lawson bringing in other players and having that experience, and to bring in Phillips, you know, from Ashton as a goalkeeper with 700 league games under his belt is a massive coup. That is a masterstroke, and that will make Marine survive this season because they've brought in some quality.
Now, do we all agree here that it's Corby, Marine, Frickley, Hales, Owen,
and
Colville are all involved in this now?
No.
No.
No. I'm not having Colville or Hales, Owen.
Hales, Owen, maybe.
It's bottom six.
Depends. I said Hales, Owen got a lot.
Weren't you saying bottom five last month and that included Frickley?
Well, Frickley have brought in Marine, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
This time last month, exactly. Marine were above Frickley.
Do we not expect? Do we not expect that now? Corby have got Blythe out of the way that they're going to return to winning ways.
I've got a question about Corby. I'd like Roy's view on. They have spent so much kind of energy and emotion just to get themselves in a position where they've got a chance. How hard is it going to be now for them to kick on and put another 8 or 9 games together to see it through? Because they've done. You know, how many months have we sat here and gone there, down, there, down, there, down, and now they've got themselves in this position, but it's a mammoth effort to have got there. How hard is it going to be to go, we need a second win to finish it?
Do you want the next three games for Corby?
Yeah.
They've got Skem at home, Rushall away, then Sutton Coldfield at home. This is what I'm saying, returning to winning ways.
And
that's why I'm bringing Colville in.
The two after that for Corby and Marine twice as well.
Right, okay. With that knowledge,
ding dong, innit, with them two.
That's what I mean.
I think Corby, if I look at the next five fixtures that they've got, I'd say it's entirely in their own hands as regards whether or not they can drag and supersede Marine's efforts. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Marine has slowly been slipping down. To a point where, you know, they're there now. They're in the fight.
But oddly, have they changed the management at the right time?
Do you want a stat on that?
Yeah. Oh my God, have you done a stat on this?
Well, I just thought the timing was dead curious. Yeah. Like, I work with Carl McCauley now, so obviously I was interested. It's almost the exact same day in February that they've sacked the manager this time as when they sacked Carl. They've made the change exactly the same time. Bell goes off at Marine and they go, oh, we better do something. But it's weird that it's...
Do you reckon it's an outlook calendar reminder?
It could be.
In some ways,
it worked last time though, didn't it? Because they sacked Carl McCauley and they stayed up.
Because Corby got to play Marine twice and the teams that they've got against them, I think Corby will supersede Marine.
Yeah.
Here's why Colville are going to stay up. They need two, maybe three wins from 12 games.
And they score goals.
Exactly. They'll be absolutely fine.
I mean, granted, you'd normally say 40 points is good enough. The last couple of years, teams have gone down on 44, 45.
Oh, no, not 40 points. You do probably need...
No, they're going to need two wins.
Getting on for 46, 47.
They need to be around the Ashton mark, about 48 points to be guaranteed security.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
The fight.
And they will stay. There's no question about it.
The fight's up to...
Yeah. I
mean, the fight's up to Frickley. End of...
This is one in the room that was in disposition last year. Berkey, what would you think at this moment in time?
I don't see...
Well, this is what I was going to say to you.
I don't see anyone doing a hide. I don't think Hales Owen are going to do a hide. They've been consistent all season.
We've got Mourinho in there, some,
yeah, but Hales Owen have been consistently bottom half all season. They've been picking points up here and there.
They've played 32 games. They're doing enough. So.
Yeah, they've got games down. They're doing enough.
They've got the number 9 derby coming up soon as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
Frickley, they've come into a bit of decent form. They've got Joel Pughes, a very, very, very good centre-forward on loan from Doncaster.
They didn't panic either, because it was looking a bit sticky for them a couple of weeks ago, but they've not panicked. They've just...
Yeah, but just to come back to the point you're making, I think that comes from the manager. Whenever you listen to Lee Morris talk, if I'm playing for him, I believe I'm going to stay up. And I think... that informs kind of how they've done in the, you know, you're right, he's never panicked, but also he's backed them publicly as well, and I think people do respond to that. He's so impressive when he talks. Like,
they've really picked up under him, and considering how he was doing at Goole at the start of the season,
Goole,
it was dreadful, and him getting the Frickley job was really interesting in the first place, but he got it and he's kicked on, and Frickley have kicked on,
done
well. We all like Frickley, let's face it.
Just to say, I love this time of the season because we get to sign off clubs. We get to say, we're never going to talk about you ever again. Mickleover, good year.
They might not be competing for anything, but they've got to play everyone in the top half.
Yeah, but they lose heavily and they win heavily.
They're not, though. They've been beating some of the teams up.
They're the kingmakers.
Yeah.
They are the kingmakers. They did a job against Matlock. They did a job against whoever they played the other night. I can't remember. But teams in the playoffs...
They
do really well against the teams above them. They might struggle a bit against teams below them, but the teams above them do well. No, don't you be writing Mickle over.
So,
how dare you?
Do I keep them on, Berkey, do I keep them on the list? As a panel, do you feel comfortable predicting your bottom four yet?
Yeah.
No.
I do.
Right, go on then, Berkey.
All right, Skem bottom, Ilson second bottom, Sutton Coldfield third bottom, and then, I don't know.
Oh, you were doing so well. That was like...
I don't know. No, it's between Frickley, Marine and Corbett, although I do think it'll be Marine.
Me, unfortunately, Skem, Ilson, Sutton, and I actually think Marine will come out of this. And I think Frickley with the team that will go into the bottom four.
Wash your mouth out, but they'll win the HM Cup.
But I think Frickley have played a game more than Marine. There's a lot of games to go, but I've got a feeling that Tommy Lawson, he's got experience. Mm.
Gary Mills at Corbett, Morris at Frickley, Tommy Lawson at Marine. I've all got, how can I put it? What's experience, it? And when you hear them talk,
They don't panic.
Now, that to me suggests that Frickley, Marine and Corbett aren't going to panic. Does anyone above them need to start panicking now and go, what's going to happen here?
No, it's definitely between those three.
Okay.
It's definitely between those three. And for me, stability-wise and what they've actually got working for them at the levels they've been, I think Corby could possibly be the ones that drag themselves out of it.
I'm worried about Marie. Really worried about. I've never been relegated. And I think... Tommy's.
Who did we say that about? Was it Blythe said that about a couple of years ago as well, though?
Tommy's come in, and I agree with everything you've said about him, but there's all this movement of players. They haven't got time. Time is not on their side for them to come in. Everyone keeps saying, Marie, they'll be alright, they'll do alright this year, and then. I don't know if
they had that game against Stockport as well. They were the best team on the pitch.
They did. They're under more pressure this time, I think you're spot on. Don't forget, last time when Sean Hesse come in, they were 11 points from safety.
Yeah.
In a weird way, there was no pressure because everyone kind of thought they were going to get relegated. Anyway, this time I think there is pressure because they're the team on the slide in terrible form. Yeah.
With Tommy's long association with Skem and how well he's done with Skem, let's face it, they've punched above the weight for a very, very long time. Is the move to Marine a move that Tommy's deserved?
Yes, definitely.
What he's maybe rejected over the years because he's been at Skem and he's felt a loyalty to the club. But it's come up now and he's gone, actually...
How long was it? A month? The gap. It was about a month, wasn't it?
If I'm looking at anybody, I'm possibly looking at Els Owen.
They've got loads of games in hand, though, haven't they?
They've got plenty of games in. This is going to keep them in... good stead. It's going to hold them in good stead. And really, they only need three wins, don't they?
Let's
know what I mean, if to choose no.
We'll cover relegation off in a second, because we're going to cover this weekend's fixtures in a second, and there's one big one here that's just staring out at me.
Look,
I know. Yeah, okay. After isn't there's loads. Right, okay. Well, draw a line under this part of the show. As a bit of disclaimer, on behalf of everyone on the MPL show, we hope everyone survives and no one gets relegated. And next year,
and
everyone from Division 1 gets promoted, and we have a big, massive 64-team league. That'd be great.
Stop being the wishy-washy liberal you are. We all have.
I just want everyone to be fine, Swamper. I want everyone to be fine.
It's not going to happen, Ben. That is the real world, and that's why you take your children to Chester Zoo rather than the safari.
It was Blackpool.
South Africa. Well, the panda bears living most of them. And the
you don't get pandas on safari.
Sure. You're doing Ben's panda world.
It was Blackpool Zoo, actually, and they loved it. Anyway, that is the end of part number two. Coming up in a second, we'll be previewing all of this weekend's fixtures.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong
and it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in Reddish.
Hang on.
What? Yes.
Yeah. Do you not mean the award-winning Heat and Hops?
Sorry.
In Heating Chapel.
Round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
We've got Mr. Ian Burke from BBC Radio Manchester.
Hi, Ben.
The home of rugby league. And
well, now, why is Ben saying that? Is it because he's perhaps doing the rugby league what, Ben? What are you doing?
League One.
Ben's doing now the podcast for League One Rugby League.
With the best Yorkshire accent on this show as well.
Why do you think we said that whole thing about Van Gier?
Swampy's here from Radio FC United and
from where?
From Radio 5 Live and FCUM Radio.
He's not on 5 Live. He's not been on.
He was on it once. He was on it. I believe he rang into Nicky Campbell's show. Roy Sewell is here. Non-league legend. Hello, Roy.
Hello, Ben.
And James Hayes is here too. Hello, James.
Hello.
Right, so, fixtures for this weekend. Where do we start with these fixtures this weekend?
We could start anywhere. Let's be honest.
We could start anywhere. Let's talk about relegation.
We'll start.
Colville Town against Marine.
They're doing so well in Tommy's first game to come back and get a point against Frickley from 3-0 down. It's kind of, you know, the blow of losing then to another direct rival. That's the challenge for them this weekend.
If Marine win that, what happens to Colville?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you look at that game in itself, and I'd be expecting. I mean, no one expected Corby to go and beat Blyth. They scored two goals against Blyth, though, and did well. For me, I think Tommy's thinking, this is if we can get anything out of this is amazing. Corby thinking, this is our next game, and we can kick on. I think Corby will win this game Corby versus Skep.
Oh, sorry.
Well, what game are you talking about?
Colville versus Marine.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was about to
say that. That was the next one. Sorry.
I think the two are tied together, though, aren't they?
Sorry about that.
The two fixtures are tied together there.
They are now.
You know, with with Colville obviously playing Marine. If I'm going to stick my neck on the block, I'd say the best that Marine can get out of that is a score draw. And I look at the Corby game, and Corby, on recent form, should take the 3 points there. So it's definitely going to close up teams into the equation straight away.
I can curve you there, but I think Marine will beat Colville, and I think Corby will beat Skem. Yeah. If you get deletes everything else said before that, considering I was completely thinking about other teams, but that's where I think it'll go. I think Marine will beat Colville. I think Tommy Lawson, obviously, you know, he's got a good draw. I think there's the opportunity for them to go out there and show, and if they do win, that will reverberate
So, yeah. So this is what I was saying to you earlier. I mean, Marine, 3 points maybe. Corby, 3 points maybe. Frickley are playing Hensford at Frickley.
Hensford home win.
Yeah. So there you've got your three wins
Hensford,
there.
Suddenly,
Colville isn't that far away anymore.
I don't. The Frickley Hensford game is as easy as that. I think Hensford have been up and down this season, and I fancy Hensford to actually beat them.
That's the thing. If you're Frickley and you need points, you want a home game. You want to be playing someone in the middle of the table with nothing to play for. It's the perfect Saturday for them, I think.
It's not all that. Hensford can't afford to lose that game if they've got any chance at the playoffs. And again,
I don't believe they
are. The same we meant before. They've got to win these games. They've still got a chance because of the fixtures they've got.
We've talked about the manager, new manager. They want to perhaps show what they're capable of doing. And in that respect, you know, for that game against Frickley, that one hard, tough, you know, game against Matlock, I think this game I've got a feeling that Hensford will beat them. I think they've got a bit too much about them. They know Frickley well, and they'll go there and they'll get a result out of the game.
But Frickley got a result from a pattern of game that they shouldn't got a real result.
Oh, you know,
of course,
the
day. And the fact is, like, you know, at the end of the day, Hensford do have a decent
And Hensford are
playing staff and a decent little bit of bunts as well to subsidise it. And I can see it either being a score draw or a Hensford win.
I think the key is, though, either result you wouldn't be surprised. Either result you wouldn't be surprised, would you?
No.
I don't think that goes to show you where Frickley are as well. I mean, beating Hensford would be.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean,
but it's not. Is it? It's not a surprise at the moment.
I just wish we weren't talking about Frickley every year for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't last year. They had a hell of a season.
Well, they did.
Well, yeah. Should we bring in Hales Owen to this as well? Hales Owen are travelling to Workington. Good opportunity for Workington to
well, they got beat by Skem on Tuesday. If they can't respond to that, then I think they've lost too many games at home this season. 7 home defeats. But if they still have any hopes of catching the teams above them, they have to win on Saturday.
As this is what I was saying before, the number of games that the bottom half of the playoff race has got at the moment, this is what's going to make the last bit of the season interesting. This is where we're going to see teams drop away. Workington again, I've got to go in there and get a result just to stay in that contention, and I think they will do.
Let's go up to the top end of the table then, and there's some proper big boom banger bang fixtures this weekend which are going to answer a lot of questions. Let's start with this one here. Nantwich Town against Grantham Town. Discuss.
This is a tough one to predict because, again, both teams can attack at the same time. So
you can't do that.
No, you know what I mean, though.
There's only one ball.
No, you know what I mean. Both teams.
Offside.
Both teams have been known to attack this season, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be a high-scoring game, I reckon, this one, because of just what's at stake.
Home win. Nantwich are absolutely flying.
I agree.
Grantham, 3 without a win. If it goes 4 without a win, seeded out for them.
I think Nantwich. The penalty for Nantwich will separate them.
I think Nantwich will score draw.
That was very specific information. We've got a bet on this field.
Now, Stourbridge against Matlock Town.
Boom.
Oh, that's a good game. Again, that's a really good
game. That is juicy,
game.
Isn't it?
That's game of the juicer. Day. Game of the
no,
day,
it's
by
about
man.
10 games of the day.
No,
moment.
That one is.
Well, if you look at the fixtures.
It's game of the day.
Is anyone going to be brave here and make a prediction?
1-1 or 1-0 for Stourbridge.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think this is one of the only games where a team can lose that position this weekend in the playoff. Well, you know what I mean? Lose that little playoff.
Just like to mention Stourbridge, because we didn't really mention that properly in the first part. Should say, they too had a bit of a sticky patch, didn't they? And Gary Hackett didn't panic.
Well, it's not surprising, Ben, let's be honest.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how many teams have we seen go on a glorious FA Cup run, then get knocked out, and then the season fall apart?
Yeah. And also, he strengthened the squad this week. 2 good signings. Signed Dan Preston on loan from Telford and Luke Rogers to strengthen the attack. So we were talking before about chairman or committees or boards backing the manager. Very much that's what's happening at Stourbridge. I think it was just a hiccup, the run of defeats that they had. They put it behind them, won the last two. That said, Matlock are one of the best away teams in the league. I just think it's settled to be a really good game.
I think this is going to be a good score draw again.
Could well be, yeah.
Right.
You'd be right for a draw on this one. I do think it'll be a score draw. Let's call it 5-5.
Spennymoor against Rushall.
Spenny Moore home winning.
Yeah. Rushall have got, again, Rushall have got to win to stand any chance.
But I do think Spenny Moore will do it by one. The thing is, they've been labouring over the line recently. All right, they beat Blythe last night, but the other recent games where they've won, it's all been by one goal. So I do think it'll be a tight match, but I do also think Spenny Moore
will win. I completely disagree with him. I think Spenny Moore will win that game comfortably. That performance last night is tremendous.
Next up, in this weekend's 10 big matches, Barwell against Buxton.
Barwell v Buxton will be very close, 1-0 win for Barwell.
No, it won't.
No, well,
yes, it will.
Buxton, 1-0 win.
No,
Buxton.
No.
Barwell are going to win that, do you reckon?
In all fairness, 1-0.
Draw written all over it.
I've got a score draw all over it. 2-2. 2-2. Two teams that are playing good football. Working hard.
Oh. I've left this one towards the end. Sutton Coldfield Town against Blythe. Sutton Coldfield got the 3G pitch.
Haven't they?
Yeah, Blythe Spartans have got to travel a long way to go play Sutton Coldfield.
They always
it's
have to
length,
travel a long
it's literally
way.
The length of the league. Oh. Sutton need a win, desperately.
They've won 6, they've lost 5. This will be the 6th loss. It'll be 6-6-6.
Just a mere 3 more fixtures to get through.
They've already played him.
The King. The Kingmakers.
If anyone says this show is easy to produce.
Michelover Sports against Whitby Town. The Kingmakers.
Michelover just know how to beat the top teams, and I don't think Whitby will get something there. It's just something with Michelover this year. Again, they've got nothing to play for. They can just go into that game and relax.
Me and Berkey obviously always get on. So therefore, in this result, I'm going to suggest that Whitby Town go away from home. And they beat Michelover by 3-1.
And I hope they do for Andrew Snaith and his lovely new baby. Congratulations, Andrew, from all of us here on the MPL show.
Indeed, yeah, but what was your prediction?
Oh, I think they'll get battered. Two
more fixtures. Ilkeston against Warrington Town. Could see Warrington go up to 7th if results go their way.
It could do, and I do think the result is going to go their way, and I think it's going to go their way convincingly by a good couple of goals.
Yeah, but the other results won't, so they won't go to 7th.
But they will win.
Yeah. Oh, Grantham need to get beat by a long way.
Ben, I'm actually going to stick my neck out here and say, after the negative publicity we've given to this football club, Ilson, I think Ilson will actually, on the day, beat Warrington Town.
Oh, listen, Swampy.
I actually do believe they'll do that. I think they'll beat Warrington Town because they've got a lot of young kids and they play some good football. When it works tremendously well.
I've seen this last season with Hyde where they've got a lot of young kids. They don't give up. They will fight, they'll fight, and they'll fight.
And lastly, but by no means leastly, Ashton United against Stafford Rangers.
One more.
Okay, moving on. Thank you. And on that note, that is the end of this month's EvoStick NPL show.
Oh,
what a delightful time we've all shared together in the cellar here at the award-winning Heating Hops. A big thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian.
No worries.
A big thank you to Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
Swampy, thank you. Roy Sewell, non-league legend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
And James Hayes, we'll see you next week on EvoStick Extra.
Yeah, and before I go to sleep...
Back to normal. I love EvoStick Extra. It's, like, it's all in your hands, Ben. It's all yours.
Yeah, quick mention as well, obviously, fundraising started for the entire league now for Sports Trader.
What's that?
So basically, it's a charity that helps underprivileged kids and disabled kids to get in participation in sport. All they're asking for, every home game you go, any game you go to this month, is basically a pound in the bucket to help raise for it, you know. More information is available on the league website for it, but if you go into any EvoStick game this month, just give up a quid and put it in the bucket.
Put your quid in the bucket.
That's all we're asking for, a pound a game at a ground.
And on that note, that is the end of this
show.
Good night, Swampy.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.